This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 2nd of February 2016 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today I'm joined by Alice Vincent, arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph, for this week's music discussion. Last Friday was, of course, a big day for pop releases, with Rihanna and Sia both bringing out highly anticipated albums. We'll be talking about both of those, plus we'll learn about the newish Glaswegian band Tough Love, who've just released their debut album entitled Resort. That's all coming up on today's edition of the Monocle Arts Review. We're going to start with Sia, who is, she's from Adelaide, I believe.
Right, that's correct.
Which means that I'm almost certainly related to her, being being half Adelaide, well, technically half South Australian myself. She's mostly known as a songwriter for other people. She's one of those behind-the-scenes types who does the smart thing of letting everybody else go on tour and deal with all the hassle while she just sits at home, one imagines, thrashing ecstatically in a vault full of money. But this is her own album, and am I right in thinking these are songs that she couldn't quite sell to her regular clients?
Yeah, so it's kind of concept-y in the sense that in 2014 she released her own personal album for the first time in a while. And that, you know, Sia doesn't kind of hold back when it comes to her own music. We're talking about her depression, her battles with drink and drugs, etc. But for the likes of Rihanna and Adele, who she writes for frequently, she does middle of the road, you know, big pop bangers. And this time, yeah, she has released all of the tracks that she wrote for those people who didn't want them. And it's called This Is Acting, and she's sort of pretending to be that pop star who didn't buy those tracks.
This is a bit of a high wire act, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, as you say, she does do her own records as well. They do tend to be a bit more personal and confessional. But to actually announce up front was like, here's some stuff I couldn't quite sell to anybody, so I've gone ahead and done it myself. What do you get the impression is the point of the exercise? Is it a slight gesture of revenge, saying, like, you see what you're missing? You see how good this could have sounded?
I wouldn't say revenge. I mean, I just think it's one of brutal honesty, which Sia really does very well. She's always talking about, you know, the pots of money that she's making, as you say. And it would be high wire, I think, if she was, you know, suddenly reinventing herself and there are photographs of her everywhere, because she's famously very elusive. So she's not doing that. She's kind of, she's raised her famous wig just high enough so you can see her mouth on stage. She's still, I think she has got the upper hand, but I wouldn't say revenge.
Okay, well, let's hear a track from the album. This is 1 Million Bullets.
I got a feeling, danger is coming, danger is coming, danger is coming, oh, oh. I got a feeling, what has been one year, the war has been one year.
Million Bullets there by Sia from her album This Is Acting. Does she telegraph up front, or has she let it be known which pop star knocked back which track?
Oh, she's quite open about it, but that is part of the album. You can kind of play the guessing game. Oh, who is this meant for? 1 Million Bullets is one of those tracks that she hasn't revealed who it's for. So, and it's actually quite a difficult one to guess. Don't know, maybe Katy Perry? I'm not sure. The first two were definitely for Adele, and what's interesting is that Sia kind of sings them in a slightly Adele kind of way. And this is interesting to me because this track, 1 Million Bullets, most sounds like natural singing Sia.
Over and above the conceit, the idea of, you know, songs rejected by superstars, does it stack up as a body of work in its own right? If you didn't know the backstory, is this still, do you think, an admirable work of pop music?
Yeah, I mean, those songs are brilliant. She is just an, like, kind of freakishly gifted songwriter. She claims she can write one in 14 minutes and, you know, off she goes. And, you know, she recently took Rihanna to her house and played her 25 songs that she'd just been, oh, here you go, Rihanna, yeah, see what you think of those. Yeah, so it stands up as a body of work. It doesn't have, you know, that sense of narrative through it that her own albums have, because she's just written them blankly for other people to project their feelings onto. But it's okay. A pop album, it's good.
Well, you mentioned there Rihanna, which does mean we can move seamlessly along to Rihanna's actual new album, which is called Anti. Rihanna has been, I mean, she's been extraordinarily prolific without really anybody noticing. And I think it's, she's one of those people who's ended up occupying that weird space where she is known of by tens of millions of people who probably couldn't name one of her actual records with a gun at their head. It seems vaguely weird when you're reminded from time to time that she's actually a recording artist who's actually... Is this 7, 8 albums she's up to now or something?
This is her 8th album. She has had 40 top 10 tracks. She, for a period between 2006 and 2000 and maybe 11, 12, she was releasing one big album every single year. Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. She's worked her socks off.
And she still is some disgustingly, depressingly young age as well, isn't she? Somewhere
24 or something.
Somewhere well below 30 anyway, at which point, it is just getting silly. All her albums, by definition, her being arguably the biggest pop star in the world, are much ballyhooed, much anticipated, etc., etc. Is there much different about this one? Has she taken any leaps in any particular directions?
Yeah, massively. I mean, for a start, you know, everyone got used to thinking, oh, there'll be another Adele album next year. Where is it? And 1 year went past, 2, 3. And yeah, it's been 3 years, I think, since her last one came out. And it was much hyped. There was all these concept videos that were released through various social media and weird artwork in LA, and everyone got terribly excited. And then it was accidentally leaked onto Tidal, which is the streaming service she has a stake in.
You say accidentally. How accidental do we think that really was?
It was fairly accidental, because after it only kind of floated around the internet because it was whipped off very quickly, and one savvy fan decided to leak it themselves afterwards. And then she thought, oh, well, forget about it. I'll just put it on Tidal myself for free. It came out on a Thursday, whereas if she was doing a proper release, it would have come out the next day.
Okay, well, this is a ballad from the album. This is Close to You.
Nothing but a tear that's all for breakfast. Watching you pretend you're unaffected. You're pulling our connections, expecting me to let you go. But I won't. No, you don't need my protection.
That's Rihanna there with Close to You from her new album, Anti. That's Rihanna doing that thing that I think pop stars in general like to do from time to time, of reminding people they can actually sing a bit. Is that characteristic of the record?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't really one narrative or one kind of sound through the record, and this is the one thing that has surprised everyone. She released this album, which personally I think is brilliant, but doesn't have any of those big, showy, showgirl Rihanna number ones. It doesn't have any hits. She's released 3 singles separate to this album. None of them appear on this album. You know, it's all this weird kind of musing artist's style work. And it's very minimalist. It's very stripped back, and you really can hear her sing. Yeah.
Is she trying to do that thing of growing as an artist, do we suspect?
Oh, definitely. But I think it's savvier than that. She's saying, I'm growing as an artist. And she's also saying, I don't care if you buy this music or not. I'm doing it for me. I've already made my pots of cash and loads of influence.
Which does sound, again, I'm trying to do another seamless link here, perilously close to the great cliche of indie rock musicians, that they just make music for themselves, and if anyone right. else likes it, it's a bonus, etc. Which means, by way of signalling out our third act that we're considering today, who actually are an indie rock group of the old school, who I suspect, if asked, probably would say something like, they just make music for themselves, and if anyone else likes it, it's a bonus, etc. It's Tough Love from Glasgow. That's Tough as in T-U-F-F. Other than the fact that they spell one of their names annoyingly, what do we know about Tough Love?
They are a trio. 2 women, Suze Bear and Julie Eisenstein, and Mike O'Hara makes up the 3. So they're from Glasgow, and it's really interesting that you say there that they don't care about, you know, widespread appeal, because the guy who runs their record label actually sent handwritten letters to journalists being like, please listen to this band. And they've said in interviews that they'd love to headline V and be on a major label. It's It's really weird. I think they're a kind of pop band who accidentally make grunge music. And yeah, there's not that much out about them at the moment. They're generating quite a lot of buzz, and they've released this kind of really sort of ambitious 15-track album.
Okay, well, this is the opening track from the album. This is called Sweet Discontent. Sweet discontent. That was Sweet Discontent by Tough Love, the third selection by today's guest arts reviewer Alice Vincent of The Telegraph. There are those of us in this studio, specifically on this side of this microphone, who can remember Lush the first time around, who indeed actually went on tour with Lush on at least one occasion for Melody Maker. That's very much where Tough Love are coming from. This is early 90s shoegaze done, God, is it 25 years later? Yes, it must be. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly, but they weren't alive the first time around. It's interesting because that's the one, you know, they're from Glasgow. Everyone's saying, you know, they've got endless comparisons to other kind of indie bands from Glasgow. Got that slightly dour Scottish thing about them.
Well, the lodestone of the whole shoegaze thing was, of course, the first Jesus and Mary Chain album.
Right.
You know, Glaswegian miserablists each.
Exactly. And yet they sort of say, oh, no, we're kind of inspired by the Beatles and Weezer and this kind of thing. They started out as a folk act and then thought, well, actually, no, let's just go and make some grunge. So it's weird. Their influences don't spell out the result, but somehow, whether they're telling porkies or it's just a weird coincidence, that's what's happened.
I mean, it may just be a weird coincidence, as weird coincidences do occur, but that just has written all over it such an obvious litany of influences of that period. It sounds, yeah, like Lush, My Bloody Valentine, Chapter House, Slow Dive, etc., etc. And I did note, I was very, very pleased for Lush, but very, very surprised noticing that their comeback, they've sold out at least two nights at the Roundhouse in Camden, which I'm not even sure they could have done the first time around. And how do you account for the fact that this has come back? Because it does seem like a weirdly strange moment in pop history for a new generation to take an interest in. All these people in scuffed denim and long fringes staring at their pointy boots.
Well, the 90s has been around as a kind of fashion trend for a while. It's kind of following that 20-year rule that 20 years later, after it happens, it'll be cool again. But I agree with you. I feel like guitar bands have been trying to make a comeback for the last few years. There was the beach wave, chill wave thing that happened about 5 years ago and tried to bring shoegaze and grunge back and didn't really go anywhere. And in London, in the UK, grime and pop and hip-hop are really taking over. And it's still like guitars are kind of on the outskirts of things. A Tough Love, is that going to be the kind of thing to bring it back? I don't know, but I feel like maybe it's a coincidence of time and the fact there's not many guitars around at the moment, and maybe we're all feeling a bit miserable at the moment.
Well, Resort by Tough Love is out now on Lost Map Records. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to my guest, Alice Vincent from The Telegraph. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Miller. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow to discuss Brazilian television. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much for listening.